Good morning and welcome to another edition of Sunday Morning with Love and Action. I am Ken Tuck and I appreciate you joining me this morning. God bless you. I just figured somebody out there is sneezing with all this pollen going on. Everything is yellow. Spring has sprung. But aren't the flowers beautiful? The pollen, maybe not so much, but the flowers are. And it is springtime, and just praise God for things coming back to life. Just reminds you of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how he came back to life. And we just have so much to be thankful for, so much to give him praise for. And today we're going to talk about witnessing for Jesus and the power to be a witness for Jesus. I'm really excited about this message, and I just pray that God will just speak through me the way he wants to and get this message across. I pray it will encourage you to be a witness for Jesus if you aren't already. And if you are, I pray it encourages you to keep on keeping on. And let me encourage those of y'all who don't know Jesus, you haven't surrendered your life to him. I'm praying for you today. I'm praying that today is your day, that you call out to Jesus and just surrender your life to him. There is no better life and life eternal. You know, we're talking about eternity here, and there's nothing more important than that. But before we get into today's message, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We come to you thanking you for your goodness to us, Lord. Thanking you for the new life that you give us through your Son, Jesus. We see how we transition the seasons here from winter, when everything has died back, to spring, wherein things start coming to life. The flowers and trees are blooming. It's a new life, it looks like. And it is, because it's like they're coming back to life. But Jesus, that's what you did. You came back to life, but it didn't take you months. You were only buried for 3 days after you died for us on the cross. And then you arose from the grave to give all who believe life and life eternal. And we praise you for that, Jesus. And I am praying for those who have not received your forgiveness, have not received your salvation yet. Oh, I pray, Father, that you will just draw them to you today. Holy Spirit, that you will open up their hearts to see the truth of the gospel, and that, Jesus, you truly are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. And Father, I pray that as I teach this message that you've given me to share today, across the radio, across the internet for those who are streaming, across apps for those who are using apps. Father, I just pray, God, that I will hear clearly from you and say what you want me to say. Holy Spirit, have your way. We ask you to teach us, lead us, and guide us into all truths. And may you be glorified, Father God. We love you. We ask you to forgive us for our sins. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. For the past month, we've talked about the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And we've talked about the cost of discipleship, the rewards of discipleship. We've talked about how the Great Commission should be our lifestyle, and that it's not the great suggestion, it's the Great Commission. So Jesus, he gives us our marching orders, but he also gives us power to carry out what he's commanding us to do. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the power to be a witness for Jesus, because we are to be witnesses for Jesus to this world. The question is, why do so many believers feel like they're powerless to do so? Why do only 5 to 10% of all professing Christians in the U.S. share their faith with others? Why? It makes no sense to me. How can we so easily talk about things like sports and politics and the weather, things that have no eternal consequences whatsoever? But so many struggle, and so many don't even try to share their faith with the lost and dying world. It just doesn't make any sense. We have vaccines now to fight off the coronavirus. Everyone is quick to talk about that. And the vaccine is great, and I praise God for those vaccines that can help us fight off that disease. But we have the answer, the cure to the most deadly disease of all, and that is sin. We have the answer. We have the cure to sin. We can tell and show people how they can escape an eternity of hell and how they can have everlasting life in paradise with Jesus. That answer, that cure to sin is Jesus. You know, Billy Graham often stated that this world has a sin problem. and the cure to that sin problem is Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you share your faith? Do you tell other people about Jesus? Do you share your testimony with others? If you do, then praise God. And I just want to encourage you to keep it up, because it is so important, because that's what we are supposed to do. That's what we're commanded to do as followers of Jesus Christ. And if you aren't sharing your faith, if you aren't telling people about Jesus, if you aren't sharing your testimony with others, why not? Do you think it's not important to witness, to evangelize? And when we say the word evangelize, we often think of an evangelist who blows into town, blows up, and takes off, right? No, to evangelize, that's the calling of every believer of Jesus, to go out and tell others that we meet, family members, friends, strangers, about Jesus, how we can share our testimony with them, how we can let them see and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being played out in our lives. This is something that Jesus commands all of his followers to do. And we've talked at length about that. And I pray many of you are taking on that challenge that I've set out there for you about living out the Great Commission, because it's what he tells us to do. It's what we must do. We must obey our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the best quotes that I've heard about the importance of evangelism, sharing your faith, comes from an atheist. Yep, you heard me right. The best quote I've heard about evangelizing and sharing your faith comes from an atheist. Many of you may be familiar with the magician duo of Penn and Teller. They have it's a comedy act, and they're really good magicians at that too, but they're called Penn and Teller. You've probably heard of them. But Penn Jillette, he is an atheist, and he makes no bones about it. However, he also makes no bones about how he respects Christians who share their faith. That's right, an atheist who respects Christians who share their faith. One day, a believer in Jesus Christ talked with Penn, and he gave Penn a Bible. If you watch the video, you can see it did touch him. And he had some interesting things to say about that. And here are some quotes from Penn's experience of receiving that Bible from that Christian man. He says, "I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, an atheist who think people shouldn't proselytize and who say, just leave me alone and keep your religion to yourself, how much do you have to hate somebody not to proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them? I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you, and you didn't believe that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that." If an atheist can understand how important it is to share one's faith, why can't professing Christians understand it? His quote there, how much do you have to hate somebody not to tell them about the gospel? Because we do have the answer. His name is Jesus. And his quote is so true. Because there is a heaven and there is a hell. And if we don't follow Jesus and bow our knee to him now, then there's a hell that's waiting. But if we do, if we give our lives to him and follow him, then there's a heaven waiting for us. So how much do we have to hate somebody to just, we're basically saying, look, I don't care that you're going to hell. That's not what Jesus tells us to do at all. Jesus wants us to share him with others, to give them a chance to receive Jesus. And who knows, maybe that man giving Penn a Bible, maybe that's going to make a difference in his life. I don't know. But at least that man tried. And that's what we have to do. I think too often Christians think, well, people are going to reject me. They're not rejecting you. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Jesus Christ, someone so much more important than you and me. We have to take our eyes off of ourselves, because this life isn't about us. It's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave everything to give us eternal life. And that's the message we have to get out to people. That's the message we have to tell people. Jesus commands us to share his gospel and to make disciples. And he promises, as we talked about last week in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, he promises to always be with us. And he empowers us to witness, to be his witnesses. We don't need anything else except to be obedient to the words of Jesus Christ. He commissions us. He empowers us. Now we just have to be obedient to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's open up the Word of God today. We're going to read one verse today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Jesus is speaking to his disciples just before he ascends to heaven. This is after his death and resurrection. He's given them the Great Commission, and now he gives them this word. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That is one awesomely incredible quote from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's telling us that the Holy Spirit, part of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, dwells within the followers of Christ, giving us power to witness. So what are we afraid of? Jesus is with us, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Think about that for a moment. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of us, if you're a follower of Christ. The same power that created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them is inside of us. We have all the power we need, and a whole lot more, to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Let's look closer at Acts 1, verse 8. Notice that the word will, W-I-L-L, is in this verse two times. Now, some translations has the word shall. So will or shall, depending on the translation that you're looking at. But Jesus says, we will or we shall receive power. He didn't say, maybe we might receive power. He didn't say, well, I hope you receive power. No, Jesus says, we will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Then he says, we will be his witnesses. He doesn't say, if you feel like it, you can be my witnesses. He doesn't say, when you find a situation that wouldn't make you feel awkward, you can be my witnesses if you feel like it. No, Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He says, we will be. We will receive power. We will be his witnesses. There's no gray area there. He says we will. That's his expectation of us as followers of him, that we will receive power from the Holy Spirit and we will be his witnesses. Now, as I have read and studied this verse over the years, here's how I look at it. Obviously, you and I do not live in Israel. So here's how I take this verse. I must obey Jesus and be his witness here in Dothan, Alabama, where I live, my hometown. I am empowered and I'm commissioned by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be a witness of his right here in Dothan, Alabama. So Dothan is my Jerusalem. And I look at the southeastern United States as Judea, and the rest of the U.S. as Samaria, and the end of the earth, I look at that as anywhere outside the U.S. Now, I've been blessed to travel to different parts of this great state of Alabama and this great nation of the United States and witnessed to people on the streets, literally from New York to Los Angeles and points in between, telling people about Jesus, sharing my faith with them. And this just wasn't while I'm full-time with Love and Action. Now, most of this was when I was an editor at the Dothan Eagle and an editor at the Enterprise Ledger, working in the newspaper industry. But no matter where we're at, no matter what our job is, you don't have to be a pastor or an evangelist to be a witness to Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, then you are to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Now, Martha and I have been blessed to travel to other countries. We've been to Haiti, Ecuador, Philippines, China, Myanmar, and India to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. On a business trip to Sri Lanka, I shared my faith there. Please understand, I am not bragging about Martha and me. I don't want you to think we're some super Christians, because there's no such thing as a super Christian. We're either obedient or we're not. I wish I could tell you I've been obedient 100% of the time, but I would be lying, and I would have to stop and ask God to forgive me. But my prayer is that I'll be more and more obedient each and every day to be His witness, because I love Him. I love Him so much. He's done everything for me. He's forgiven me. He's taken the wrath of God for me. He's given me eternal life. And that's what He wants to do for everyone. I'm no special Christian. We're all the same in His eyes. He loves us all the same. And He wants us to experience Him in His fullness and be His witnesses, because He wants everyone to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is awesome to think that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Almighty God, wants us to be part of the plan of salvation. He wants to speak through us, to love through us, to show and tell others about Him. That's just awesome. If we just think about that for a moment, it's mind-blowing, but that's what He wants us to do, is to be His witnesses. And so, if I can do it, if Martha can do it, you can too. There's no doubt about it, because if you're a believer, Jesus is always with you, and you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be His witness. So I ask, do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust Him? So let's talk about belief and trust for a moment. Let me share an anecdote with you, a story to show the difference between belief and trust. There was once a man, he put a rope, a tight rope, across Niagara Falls. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? If you've seen pictures or videos, it's an awesome sight, but to see it in person, it's actually kind of frightening as you're standing next to the falls. I mean, it's powerful. So this guy puts up a tightrope and says he's going to walk across it. So people start to gather, and he says, "Do you believe I can tightrope across the Niagara Falls?" And they're like, "Yeah, no doubt about it. Do it. We're cheering you on." So he walks across, and then he walks back. He says, "Do you believe I can walk backwards across Niagara Falls and walk back backwards?" And they were like, "Sure, we believe you can do it." And so they're cheering him on, and he, sure enough, walks backwards across Niagara Falls and walks back. Then he gets a wheelbarrow, and he says, "How many of you believe I can push this wheelbarrow across this tightrope and make it back with the wheelbarrow?" And they were like, "Yeah," and the crowds were really gathering at this point. They were, "Yeah, you can do it. We believe it." So he gets the wheelbarrow, and he wheels across Niagara Falls on that tightrope. He turns around, and he comes right back with the wheelbarrow. And people are just cheering and just amazed at what he's doing. And then he asks this question: "How many of you believe I can push somebody across Niagara Falls on this tightrope in this wheelbarrow?" And they're saying, "Yeah, yeah, we believe you can do that. We've seen you do everything else. So yes, we believe you can do this." And he says, "Okay, who wants to volunteer?" You could hear crickets then. Nobody wanted to get in that wheelbarrow and be pushed across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. But see, they believed that he could do all these other things. But when it came time for them to trust him, they did not trust him. And see, that's how we can look at witnessing for Jesus. Do you believe he died and rose again? Do you believe he has empowered us to be his witnesses? And if you can say yes to those questions, then trust him and be his witness. Step out and be his witness. Because we can believe Jesus died and rose again. We can believe He's Lord of all. We can believe He is the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. So why don't we trust Him? We can. We can trust Him. Trust Him to do what He commands us to do. Trust Him when He says He will be with us always. Trust Him when He says we will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and through that power we will be His witnesses. We can trust Him. So let's step out and do it. Look at the apostles. They believed and trusted Jesus, and they obeyed His commands. We can read in Acts chapters 1 through 7 how they were witnesses of Christ in Jerusalem, just like He told them they would be. Then in Acts 8 through 12, we can read how they went outside of Jerusalem. And in Acts 13 through 28, how they went to the ends of the earth. Jesus gave them their marching orders in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the Great Commission. Then He explained to them how they will accomplish it and where they will go to share the gospel in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, there are marching orders as well. The Great Commission is for us too, not just for the apostles. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is also for us. All that's left for us to do is obey Jesus like the apostles and the early church did. Now don't go telling me, oh, Ken, they were the apostles. They were these great men of God, and they were great, awesome men of God. But you know what? We can be awesome men, awesome women of God too, because He gives us the same marching orders. He commissions us just like He commissioned them. He empowers us with the Holy Spirit just like He empowered them. The commission that Jesus gives us has not changed. The Holy Spirit has not changed. So we can do the same things. We can go out and tell others about Jesus, and we can make disciples. Let's look at that word, witnesses, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. I think you will find this very intriguing. The Greek word for witness is the word for martyr. It means one who dies for his faith. That's how deep and how intense Jesus' call for us to be His witnesses is. He not only empowers us through His Holy Spirit to be His witnesses, but He empowers us to be His witnesses even if it costs our lives. The apostles in the early church understood that. Many believers around this world today believe that because they are persecuted and killed or martyred for their faith in Jesus. We know the apostles, they were all martyred except for John, but he went through a lot of persecution. They tried to kill him, but he went through a lot of persecution. But that was their faith in Jesus. That was their obedience to His words, to His commands, to be His witnesses. And they had the power to do that from the Holy Spirit. And so do we. We've shared stories here on Sunday Morning of Love and Action, and we have interviewed people who have been persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. And we read about persecution and people being martyred for their faith, especially in other countries, because they believe in Jesus, and their faith is strong in Jesus, and they're obedient to Him, and they're not going to waver. Well, how about us in America? Do you ever think about being a witness unto death? Would you be willing to die for your faith? When 90 to 95% of professing Christians in the U.S. won't even share their faith when there's no threat of persecution, I highly doubt that they will if their life's dependent on it. And that's sad, and that's tragic. But you know what? We can turn the tide on that. We can change those stats by sharing our faith in Jesus. We need to. We must. We've got to start sharing our faith with others. And I cannot encourage you and implore you enough to share your faith with others. Go and make disciples of all nations. You know, we need to start doing it now, because one day persecution will come. And there have been people who have been persecuted in the U.S. We know that, but not as much as in other parts of the world where it's actually illegal to be a Christian. Our faith in Jesus Christ needs to be so rock solid that we would be willing to die to tell others about him, to share the gospel with others. He gives us the power to do so. Let's tap into that power. And that's the power that only comes from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And we will talk about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit on another edition of Sunday Morning with Love and Action, because we simply don't have time for that this morning. As a matter of fact, we're almost out of time this morning. But he gives us the power. Tap into that power, the Holy Spirit, and be his witnesses. You can do it because he tells us we can. And he is with us always, and he empowers us through the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you this week, share Jesus with someone. I pray more than one, but just if you've never shared your faith before, share your faith with one person this week. Maybe it's your testimony that will touch their lives. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Ask him to guide you and to help you to share your faith this week. I'm telling you, once you do it, once you share your faith one time, you won't stop. You will keep doing it. So do that this week. Share your faith with somebody. Maybe it's a verse from the Bible. Maybe you can share John 3:16 with somebody, or whatever your favorite verse is. Maybe it is your testimony of what God has done in your life. And our testimonies about our salvation is three parts. We've talked about this before, but it's how our lives were before we came to Jesus. How we came to Jesus. That moment when we surrendered our lives to him. And how our lives have been since that moment. And what he's done for us. Nobody can tell your story like you. Share it with somebody. God will use it to touch somebody's life. I want to thank you for joining me this morning, and I pray that this message has challenged you and has encouraged you to share your faith with others. And if you aren't a believer in Jesus Christ, if you haven't made that decision yet, let me encourage you to do so. You just talk to them, call out to them the best way you know how. There's no prayer written in stone that says this is how you have to pray. It can be something like, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God, the one and only Son of God. I believe with all my heart you died on that cross and you rose again on the third day. I want to give you my life. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I repent of my sins. I turn to you and ask you to help me to live for you. Fill me with your Spirit. I give you my life. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. You know, just pray something like that. If you have any questions, please contact me. If you have any questions about witnessing to others, if you have any questions about salvation, any questions at all, please feel free to contact me. Our phone number at Love and Action is 334-494-4995. 334-494-4995. You can also email me at ken.tuck, that's K-E-N dot T-U-C-K, at loveinactionministries.com. ken.tuck at loveinactionministries.com. We encourage you to also like our Facebook page. Follow us on Facebook. We put a lot of information out there on Facebook, and our website is loveinactionministries.com. Thank you again for joining me this morning. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and encourage you to join me again next week, 10:30, right here on the Joy FM. May God bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.